Have you ever thought about how, like, something as simple as a detached garage could be, like, the deciding factor in a burglary charge,
Oh, yeah.
potentially even leading to a life sentence? It sounds kind of crazy,
Right.
but it's true. We're going to unpack a really fascinating California case today,
Yeah.
the People versus Timothy Ingram.
Okay.
And it really just throws you right into the deep end of the state's three strikes law.
It definitely does. Ingram is a really good example of how complicated California law can be, especially when you're dealing with something like sentencing and retroactivity and, even constitutional challenges, all that's kind of wrapped up in the three strikes law. And this is a good case to see how it's applied.
And for our listeners who are law students, this case really offers some like seriously important insights into criminal procedure and sentencing. So we're going to try to like really break it down piece by piece today, focusing on the reasoning behind the court's rulings.
Absolutely.
So to make sure that we stay on track and cover everything, we'll be focusing on four main questions today.
Okay.
So first, we're going to look at how California law determines the degree of burglary, particularly when an attached garage
Oh,
is
yeah.
involved.
Right.
Second, we're going to tackle this really kind of tricky question of whether prior convictions from before the three strikes law
Right.
can actually still count as strikes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a really important point.
Then third, we'll delve into the process of calculating sentences
Right.
under the three strikes law.
Right.
And finally, we'll kind of explore the constitutional arguments
Right.
that are sometimes raised
Yeah.
against these really lengthy sentences for repeat offenders.
For sure. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we jump right in to that first point
Oh.
about first-degree burglary in the
That
garage?
was good.
So Timothy Ingram actually argued that one of his burglary convictions should have been for second-degree burglary
Oh, okay.
because it involved what he considered to be a detached garage.
Okay.
So what did the court make of that argument?
Well, what's really interesting here is the way that California law defines an inhabited dwelling. And they're really specific about this. For purposes of a burglary charge, they said that under California law, an attached garage, and this is key here, even if it's not directly connected, like there's no doorway from the house to the garage, or it's not internally connected, it's still legally part of the dwelling.
So even if you couldn't walk directly from the house into the garage
Right.
without having to go outside first,
Yeah.
the fact that it's attached to the house
Yeah.
makes it part of the house.
That's right. That was the deciding factor.
Okay, so that's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, it's so important to understand that legal terms sometimes have different
For
meanings
sure.
than what we think of in everyday language. So
Right.
like inhabited dwelling doesn't just mean the actual like living space of the
Yeah.
house. It also includes
Yeah.
these connected but sort of seemingly separate structures.
Yeah.
So this is so important when you're advising clients
Yes.
about burglary charges because it really comes down to the legal definition of a space,
Right.
not necessarily just common sense.
Absolutely. And it's important to explain that to a client. And so that they understand why they might be facing a more serious charge than they initially thought.
All right, so let's move on to the second issue.
Okay.
And this one touches on a concept that I think can be a little tricky,
Yeah.
which is the idea of the three strikes law being applied retroactively.
Okay.
So Ingram argued that because his previous burglary convictions happened before the three strikes law was even a thing in California, which, by the way, was back in 1994, they shouldn't count as strikes against him now.
Okay.
So how did the court
Yeah, how did
see?
they handle this one?
Well, they were pretty firm on this one.
Okay.
They said that the main point of the three strikes law is the current felony,
Okay.
the one that they're being charged with right now.
Right.
So if that felony was committed after the law was put into place,
Okay.
then prior convictions, it doesn't matter when they happened,
Okay.
they can be used to increase the sentence under the three strikes law.
So they're not like punishing him for his past crimes all over again
Right. No.
using this new law?
Exactly. They were very clear about that. It's not an ex post facto violation,
Gotcha.
which basically means you can't be punished for something
Right.
that was legal at the time you did it,
Yeah.
or they can't increase the punishment after you already committed the crime.
Okay.
So the three strikes law is really seen as like an extra penalty for the new crime.
Okay. because of the defendant's past.
Okay.
And this is where things get a little bit, I think, ethically murky.
Right.
Because is it really fair?
Right.
To keep punishing somebody for the same crime.
Right, exactly.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, they already served their time for that crime.
Right.
So is it fair to keep using that against them in the future?
Right.
You know?
It's a tough question.
Absolutely. So for all our law students out there, the important thing to remember about these sentencing enhancement laws is that they look at the defendant's past convictions as a factor in deciding what the punishment should be for a new crime.
It's all about the pattern of behavior, not just a single event.
Exactly. All right. Now we're going to get into what might be the trickiest part of this case.
Right.
It sounds like there's some math involved.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that is how sentencing is calculated under the three strikes law.
So Ingram actually argued that the trial court messed up in calculating his sentence.
Okay.
So when we have a defendant like Ingram who has two or more prior serious felony convictions, also known as strikes.
Strikes.
What's the basic sentencing structure for a new felony conviction?
So under the three strikes law, if you have two or more prior strikes.
Okay.
And you commit a new felony, you're looking at an indeterminate life sentence.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But there's a minimum term of imprisonment
that
has to be calculated. And this is where it gets really complicated.
All right. So how do they figure out that minimum term?
So the law gives a couple different ways to calculate it.
Okay.
And whichever one produces the longest sentence, that's what they have to go with.
All right. So what are those different ways of calculating it?
So first, they can triple the normal sentence for the current felony.
Okay.
So if the usual sentence is 10 years, they would triple it to 30 years.
Okay.
The second option is a flat 25 years minimum.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what the crime is.
Gotcha.
And then the third way is to calculate the sentence under the normal rules.
Okay.
But then they add on any extra penalties or enhancements that apply to the case.
Okay, that makes sense. And so, just as a reminder for everybody, Ingram was convicted of two residential burglaries.
Right.
And he had those two prior strikes.
Right.
So the trial court originally gave him 27 years to life.
Okay.
But then the appellate court came in and said,
Yeah. They said, wait a minute here.
There's a mistake.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
So the appellate court basically said, you know, when you have multiple felony charges that weren't committed at the same time.
Okay.
Or as part of the same crime.
Right.
That's what Ingram had. Sentences have to be served one after the other.
Oh, wow.
We call that consecutively. Oh. So they basically said, you can't just lump these two burglaries together.
Right.
And give him one life sentence.
Right.
With a 27-year minimum.
Okay.
You have to calculate the minimum sentence for each burglary separately.
Okay.
And then add those minimums together.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they did the math. And they said, based on the second calculation method, that flat 25-year minimum, each burglary should have carried a minimum of 25 years to life.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you have to add all the other applicable enhancements.
Gotcha.
And when they added it all up, they said the minimum term for Ingram should have been at least 61 years.
Wow.
So that's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a really big difference.
They go from 27 years to 61 years.
Yeah, so what happened? Did they actually increase his sentence?
So this is where it gets a little crazy.
Okay.
Even though the appellate court clearly said there was a mistake in the original sentence, Ingram's original 27-year-to-life sentence was upheld.
Wait a minute. Why?
It's a little bit of a legal technicality.
Okay.
The prosecution didn't appeal the trial court sentence.
Okay.
So since it was Ingram who appealed, and the prosecution didn't file what's called a cross appeal to try and get the sentence increased, the appellate court couldn't actually change the original sentence.
Oh, wow.
Even though they knew it was wrong.
So that's a really important lesson for us law students about procedure.
Absolutely. Procedure is everything.
Yeah.
You can have a really strong case.
Right.
But if you don't follow the right procedures, you could lose.
Wow. So the takeaway here isn't just the math of three strikes sentencing.
Right.
But also how important procedure is in the appellate review of these sentences.
It just goes to show that even in a situation where someone's freedom is at stake, the legal system really prioritizes following the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move to that final issue in Ingram's appeal.
Okay.
He actually argued that his sentence,
Right.
which, as we just discussed, should have
No,
been even
thorough.
longer,
That
was
guy.
cruel and unusual punishment
Oh.
under the California Constitution.
Right.
So, how did the court deal with that?
Well, they really focused on Ingram's criminal history.
Okay.
He had four previous burglary convictions, and he had served time in prison
Okay.
for stealing property.
Gotcha.
So the court looked at that
Yeah.
and said, this shows a pattern of criminal behavior,
Okay.
and there's no sign that he's changed his ways.
Right.
And actually, the court made a pretty strong statement in their decision.
Yeah. What did they say?
They said, and I quote,
Okay.
"Fundamental notions of human dignity are not offended by exiling from society those individuals who have proved themselves to be threats to the public safety and security."
So even though the sentence was super long, they basically decided that it was okay
Yeah.
because he had this long history
Exactly.
of criminal activity.
And that's a really controversial idea, right?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, you have this idea of rehabilitation,
Right.
that the purpose of prison is to help people change their lives
Right.
and become productive members of society. But then you have these laws,
Right.
like the three strikes law,
Yeah.
that basically say, once you commit a certain number of crimes, you're out.
Yeah.
You're done. We're giving up on you.
So for our listeners who are really into constitutional law and criminal justice, this case shows how courts sometimes balance these competing interests. They
Absolutely.
have to weigh individual rights
Yes.
against public safety.
Right.
And it's not always an easy decision.
It's a really tough balancing act.
Right. So as we wrap up our deep dive into this case,
Okay.
what are some of the main takeaways?
Yeah, what are the big,
Yeah, that you think things to remember.
are important for our listeners,
Yeah.
especially those who are studying law?
So I think the biggest takeaway is that prior convictions, no matter when they happened,
Okay.
can still come back to haunt you. So if you have a client
Yeah.
with a criminal record,
Right.
you really need to understand how those prior convictions could affect their current case.
Okay.
The second thing is that legal definitions can be tricky. What seems obvious to us
Right.
might not be what the law actually says.
Right.
And then finally, procedure matters a
Yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
So, pay attention in your civil procedure classes.
Yeah, for sure. And as you guys, all of our listeners, as you head into your legal careers, it's really important to understand these nuances
Yes.
in criminal law,
For sure.
especially in California
Yeah.
or any other state that has similar sentencing enhancements for
Absolutely.
repeat offenders.
This case is a really good example of how high the stakes can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
With all these complex technicalities that we've discussed today, and how potentially severe these sentences can be under the three strikes law, it really highlights the need for
Yes.
everyone to understand these rules and to
Absolutely.
make sure they're applied accurately.
It's all about fairness and justice.
Right. In every single case, this deep dive into Enneagram definitely shows that when it comes to the law,
Yeah.
even the smallest details can
Absolutely.
have a huge impact.
That's right.
So pay attention, folks.
Every detail matters.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. So
Yeah.
thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into The People versus Timothy Ingram.
It was a pleasure being here.
We'll see y'all next time.
See you then.